Welcome to the Our Generation Summit 2011. It is our prayer that you will be challenged to take part in world evangelism in obedience to the King's command.
Well, how many of you had a good afternoon? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you are looking forward to a great evening tonight with God's word? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, I am glad that you're here, and I hope that God is doing a work in your life. I've enjoyed talking to the ones that I've gotten to talk to, and I hope that you've taken advantage of talking to these missionaries and men of God that are here with you during this time. The next missionary, or the next speaker, is Pastor Ronald Tobias. Y'all go ahead and come up here if you would. And Brother Ronald got saved under our son Chris's ministry in Arequipa. I had the privilege of teaching him all through the Bible school days. He was one of the first guys way back when. He'll be 40 years old soon, and I knew him a long time ago. Back when he wasn't 40. And God has greatly used him in Peru to train men and here. And so I hope you'll listen as he preaches.
Buenas noches.
Good evening.
Me toca predicar con Jonás.
I'm supposed to preach about Jonah.
Entonces, quería dar las gracias por la oportunidad de estar hoy día con ustedes.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you.
Cada año esto se pone mejor.
Every year this thing gets better.
Parece que el próximo año vamos a tener que tumbar algunas paredes.
Looks like next time we're going to have to take that wall down and go back a little bit further.
Estoy feliz de que el pueblo de Dios está haciendo un buen trabajo.
I'm glad to see that God's people are doing a good work.
Hay muy pocas conferencias como esta.
There are a lot of very few conferences like this one.
Que tienen la asistencia que tenemos el día de hoy.
And there are very few places that have as many people, the attendance that
Pero
we
estoy,
have.
Estoy contento de lo que Dios está haciendo.
And I'm very happy to be here and see what God's doing.
Quiero compartir acerca del libro de Jonás.
I want to share with you about the book of Jonah.
Uno, por favor.
Chapter 1 and verse 1. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying,
dice la palabra, versículo 2 también.
And verse 2 also says, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.
Jonás tenía el mandato de Dios.
Jonah had God's command.
Como nosotros tenemos el mandato de Dios.
Just like we have God's command.
De ir a predicar el evangelio.
To go out and preach the gospel.
Pero algo pasó en la vida de Jonás.
But something happened in Jonah's
De repente
life.
No tenía fe.
Maybe he didn't have faith.
O de repente no tenía amor.
Maybe he didn't have love.
Pero él conocía de Dios.
But either way, he knew about God.
Él escuchaba la voz de Dios.
And he listened to the voice of
Como
God.
Nosotros escuchamos la voz de
Just
Dios.
Like we listen and hear
y
the voice
amamos
of God.
A Dios.
And we love God.
Pero a veces podemos estar como la,
But
como Jonás,
a lot of times we can be like Jonah.
Que no obedecemos a Dios,
in the fact that we don't obey God.
Porque pensamos que sabemos mejor
because
que Dios.
We think that we might know better than God.
Pensamos que el camino de Dios
we think that God's ways
es demasiado.
Are just too much
tenemos
to handle.
Nuestros propios pensamientos,
we have our own thoughts.
Nuestras propias
We have our own goals.
Hay algunos que ya están acá.
There's some that are already here.
Ya tienes tus metas.
And you already have your
y Dios
goals.
No te está hablando.
And God's not speaking
Porque ya tienes tu propio camino.
Because you've got your way
ya
of going.
Tienes tu propia mentalidad.
You've got your mentality.
Ya quieres ir a la universidad.
You know where college you want to go
quieres
to.
Estar en el army.
And you know what army you want to be in.
Ya quieres casarte.
And you know who you want to marry.
Y la palabra de Dios
and the word of God
no te toca
isn't speaking to
porque
you
tu corazón está
because
cerrado.
Your heart is closed
porque tu corazón está duro.
And your heart is heart
y en esta noche,
and tonight
si, quiero pedirte
I want to ask
que abras tu corazón.
That you would open your heart
que lo dejes blanco.
That you would leave it soft
que dejes que la palabra de Dios
that it would be tender
vida.
And that the word of God would work in
el problema
your life
no es la conferencia.
And the problem isn't this conference
el problema es que no estás escuchando.
The problem is that you're not
es
listening
que tu corazón está duro.
Your heart is hard
Toma atención en este
and,
día.
And pay attention tonight
y ríndete a la voluntad
and,
de Dios.
And surrender to his will
si Dios quiere que sigas con tus planes adelante.
If God wants you to continue with those plans go ahead
Pero si Dios quiere
but
cambiar
if God
planes,
wants to change your plans
él es digno.
He is worthy
Él tiene toda la autoridad.
He has all authority.
Él es el rey de reyes.
He is the king of kings.
Él te dio la vida.
He gave you life.
Y él puede cambiar tus
and
planes.
He can change your plans.
Quizás no yo.
Maybe not
ni
I.
Tus padres,
nor your parents.
Pero el rey de reyes.
But the king of kings.
Él sí puede.
He has the authority.
Dice la palabra.
The word says.
Y Jonás se levantó.
And Jonah arose
para huir de la presencia
to,
de Dios.
To flee from
salió,
the presence of God.
Salió corriendo de
he,
la presencia
he fled.
De Dios.
He went out running.
Porque su mente,
and because of his mind
en su corazón,
in his heart
él ya tenía sus planes.
He already had his mind made up
Él pensaba que era, sabía más que Dios.
He thought he knew more than God.
Y en ese momento él se encuentra peleando con Dios.
In that moment he finds himself arguing and fighting with God.
Él se encontraba cerca de Dios.
He finds himself close to God.
Y ahora está escapando de Dios.
But now he is running from God.
Tengo miedo que
and
algunos,
I'm afraid that many of us,
en vez de salir acá cerca de Dios,
instead of getting leaving this place closer to God, you're going to leave this place running from God to not do his will.
Ahora, dice la palabra del Señor.
And so the word of the Lord says,
en el capítulo número 4,
in chapter 4,
dice la palabra del Señor,
the Bible
en el versículo
says,
número 1,
in verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry.
Este es el primer pastor que se enoja porque su iglesia crece.
And this is the first pastor I've seen that gets mad because his church grows.
Normalmente escucho los pastores.
Most of the time I hear preachers.
Dice, este lugar es difícil.
And they're like, man, this place is hard.
La iglesia no crece.
The church won't grow.
Pero es la primera vez que
and
escucho uno.
This is the first time I've seen a pastor.
Que estaba enojado.
He's ticked off because his church
porque
grew.
Porque tenía un avivamiento.
Because he's got revival.
¿Por qué? ¿Por qué pasaba?
Why is this happening?
Estaba pasando porque quizás no tenía amor por las
because
personas.
He probably didn't have love for those people.
Él ya se había restablecido con Dios.
He had already gotten right
él
with God.
Él había pedido perdón a Dios.
He had already asked God. He said, God, please, I'm sorry.
Él ya le había dicho dentro del pez, le dijo, Dios, perdóname.
Inside of the big fish, he keeps saying, God, forgive me,
estaba,
I'm sorry.
Ya estaba haciendo la voluntad de Dios.
And he's already doing God's will.
Ya está predicando la palabra de
Dios. He's in God's will. He's preaching God's word.
He,
people are being converted through him.
Pero todavía no tenía.
But he still doesn't love these people.
Hay algo que tenemos que
and there's something that we have to understand in ministry.
Amor.
Love.
Amor por la gente.
Love for people.
Si tú tienes amor por la gente,
if you do not love
es
people,
en vano lo que vas a hacer.
It is in vain what
necesitas
you're going to do.
Amar a
you
las
need
personas.
To love people.
Necesitas amar
you
a
need
tus
to
hermanos.
Love your brothers
porque
and sisters.
Es un mandamiento
because
de Dios.
It is a commandment from God.
La palabra de Dios en Mateo 9:36,
in Matthew 9:36,
dice la Biblia, Jesús
the Bible lloró says that Jesus wept
porque amaba a la gente.
Because he loved people.
Viendo las multitudes, dice la Biblia.
He saw the
Jesús
multitude.
Tuvo compasión de ellas,
he had compassion on them because
sin pastor.
They had gone astray and they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Hacemos lo que hacemos porque amamos a Dios.
We do what we do because we love God.
El amor que Dios nos muestra es el amor agape.
And the love that God shows us is the agape love.
El mejor ejemplo de este,
the greatest
de esta palabra
example,
es Juan 3:16.
The greatest example of agape is John 3:16.
Porque de tal manera,
for God so
amó,
loved the world.
Amó.
Love.
Esta clase de amor,
that type of love
decir que es un sacrificio,
is a sacrificial love.
Es un amor que no piensa
it is
en uno,
a love
sino que
that doesn't think of itself, but it thinks of others.
Dios nos dio un mandamiento,
God gave us a commandment
que nos amemos
that
los
we
unos
would love
a los
one another
él nos ha amado,
like he has loved us.
Esta misma palabra,
it's also using
que nos
this word
los unos por
that,
los
that we would sacrifice one for the other.
En los
it's the same thing that happens in matrimony and in marriage.
Para que un matrimonio funcione,
for a marriage to work,
yo no voy a pensar en mí.
I'm not going to think
yo
of myself. I'm going to think in the other
voy a
person.
En la
I'm going to sacrifice myself for the other person.
A mí no me gusta comprar
and
flores.
I don't like buying flowers.
Pero a mi esposa sí le gusta.
But my wife does.
Entonces voy a
and
comprar
so I'm going to buy my wife flowers.
A veces,
not me. I hate flowers too.
Entonces, esa
and
clase
so,
de amor es lo que dice la Biblia.
That type of love is what
que
the Bible is speaking of, that we should
personas
sacrifice for others.
Estábamos el tiempo
and so
de Navidad.
We are going through,
y
you know, Christmas
y
season.
Llega el tiempo de comprar regalos.
And now it's time to buy presents.
Las tiendas están llenas.
The stores are full.
Las billeteras delgadas.
The wallets are empty.
Las tarjetas de crédito.
Credit cards are maxed.
Full.
Maxed, decir, full.
Estaban llenas. Y tienes que ir a comprar los regalos.
And so now you've got to go buy more presents.
Entonces,
and so,
no me gusta ir a estas no me gusta comprar.
I don't
cosas,
like that thing. I don't like buying things like that.
Tienes que estar caminando.
You have to walk around.
Cosas,
you have to go shopping looking for stuff.
Duele,
your knees hurt.
La espalda duele.
Your back hurts.
Algunas mujeres van a las tiendas.
Some women go to stores
a comprar
to go shop
para desestresar.
So they can relieve some stress.
Yo no voy porque me estreso.
And I don't go because I get stressed.
Y voy con mi hija, le digo, hija, vamos a ir a comprar.
I go with my daughter and I say, hey, we're going to go shopping
pero
for your
no
mom.
Le vas a decir nada.
But you're not going to say anything.
Oh, estaba feliz.
And she said, oh, okay, I'm happy.
Estaba contenta.
My daughter Surama is just happy.
Y estábamos en las tiendas buscando
and
algo
she, and we're going through there looking
¿qué
for something
gusta
for my wife. What does she
Surama,
like?
¿Qué le gusta?
Surama, what does your mother like?
Esto?
Would she like this?
Esto?
Would she like this?
Ah,
oh, just, I'm just going to buy this, whatever.
And
my daughter says, no, 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 not that.
Horas
and hours upon hours upon hours, I spent looking for a present for her. And you know how excited she was?
Nada.
Not at all.
Pero hermanos,
but brother,
amo a ella.
I love her.
Y no hago lo que yo quiero.
And I don't do what I want.
Hago lo que ella quiere.
I do what she wants.
Voy a sacrificarme por ella.
I sacrifice myself for her.
El momento bonito fue cuando ella abrió su
and
regalo.
The neat thing was when we opened the gift.
Uno para mí.
One for me.
De tu esposo.
From your husband.
Porque le amo.
Because she, I
caminé,
love her. I walked around.
No me gustó.
I didn't enjoy it.
Compré algo para ella.
I bought her something.
Porque el amor de la Biblia nos
because
dice,
the love in the Bible
no
says,
lo que te gusta a ti.
Don't do what you like.
Haz lo que le gusta a la otra persona. Sacrifícate
serve
por la
the
otra
other
persona.
Person. Sacrifice yourself for the other person.
Ahora, dice la palabra de Dios
and the Bible says
que nosotros debemos, en 1 Corintios, capítulo 13,
1 Corinthians chapter 13,
dice 13:1 dice la palabra de Dios.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Let me get there. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
No, 1 Corinthians 13. Si yo hablase lenguas. Okay. Entonces, dice la palabra. Dice la Biblia que si yo no tengo amor,
and so the Bible says if I don't have charity or love,
dice la Biblia, soy como metal.
I am like metal.
El metal,
brass,
es frío.
Metal, is cold.
Así es cuando una persona no tiene amor por la,
and when no you don't
amor.
Have love for people, you're cold.
El metal es duro.
Metal is hard.
Y así cuando una persona no tiene amor.
And that's what a person is like when they don't have love.
Y algo que me preocupa acá,
and something that worries me
es que
here
puede haber muchos cristianos,
is that, man, there can be a lot of Christians
que no tenga amor por
that
el
don't
mundo.
Have a love for the world.
Que no tenga amor por la
they,
gente
don't,
perdida.
They don't love lost people.
Que su corazón se ponga duro.
That their heart would be hardened.
A veces cuando una persona escucha tanto
and
de la predicación,
sometimes when a person hears so much about the preaching,
de la
and they get so much preaching
de las almas perdidas,
about lost souls that
en
are out
de que
there,
su corazón se abra,
instead of their heart opening,
duro,
it gets hardened.
Y otra vez acerca
and
de la,
once
de,
again,
del mundo y ganar almas.
I hear another message about the world of soul winning.
Amor por
we
las
need
personas.
To have love for the lost.
Necesitamos sacrificarnos por
we
las
need
otras
to sacrifice
personas.
Ourselves.
Dice, te voy a mostrar algunos ejemplos de amor.
I would like to show you a few examples of love.
Algunas veces estaba, una vez estábamos con mi hija Tabata, ella tiene 4 años.
My daughter Tabata, she's 4 years old.
Y ella se perdió.
And she got lost.
Estábamos en la casa.
We were at home.
Y algo pasó con ella.
And something happened to her.
Y estábamos buscándola.
And I was looking for her the whole time.
Y no la encontrábamos.
And I just couldn't find her.
¿La puedes pensar la cara de mi esposa?
And to think of the face that my
dije,
wife had.
Yo le dije, por ahí debe estar escondida.
Oh, she's just hiding somewhere.
Pero ella estaba buscando.
But she's looking around and
¿de verdad no está?
Says, Ronald, she really isn't here.
Yo dejé mi computadora.
And I dropped my computer.
Dejé mi computadora.
I left my computer, man.
Los hombres entienden eso,
you
¿verdad?
Men understand that, right?
La puse a un lado.
I put my computer down.
Rápidamente.
And I quickly.
Y dije, ¿de verdad?
And I said, really?
¿Dónde la dejaste?
And I said, where'd you leave
y comenzamos
her?
A buscar.
And we started looking around.
Comenzamos a buscar toda
and
la casa.
I started looking around the whole house.
Y cuando estás desesperado,
and when you're desperate,
búscate los lugares más extraños.
You look in the weirdest places.
Debajo de las piedras.
Under rocks.
¿Cómo va a estar ahí, verdad?
Where's the baby going to be under the rocks?
Estás desesperado.
But I'm desperate
y estábamos
now.
Así
and I was desperate.
No la podíamos
I could
encontrar.
Not find my daughter.
¿Por qué la estaba buscando?
And why was I looking?
Solo una cosa.
For one reason.
Le amamos.
Because we love her.
Y no la queremos perder.
And we don't want to lose her.
Amas a tu hermano.
You love your brother.
Como el amor de Dios nos ha dado.
Do you love your brother?
No tu amor.
Like God's love that he's given
pero
us.
Pero el amor que Dios nos ha dado.
Not your own love, but the love that God has given us.
Necesitamos amar a nuestro hermano que está perdido.
Our brother that's lost.
Necesitamos buscar
a
aquellos que están perdidos.
We need to love him. We need to go after them.
Un día estábamos con Surama.
One day we were with Surama.
Y estábamos en la iglesia y ella era chiquita.
We were at church. She was very small back then.
Y ella se quedó encerrada en un cuarto.
And she got locked in a room.
Y nosotros no nos dimos cuenta, ¿ves?
And we didn't notice.
Estábamos ocupados en las cosas de la iglesia.
We're busy, you know, cleaning up for church.
Y entonces escuchamos un grito.
All of a sudden we hear a scream.
Estaba gritando, ¡ah, papá!
And she was screaming, ¡Daddy!
¡Papá!
¡Daddy!
Y escuchaba una voz delgadita.
And I could hear a thin little voice. She's like, Daddy, Daddy.
Y dije, ¿dónde está la Surama?
And she said, where is Surama?
Y estaba buscándola otra
vez. And I was looking for her all
ya
over
no la
the place.
Chiquita, sino la grande.
And now she's not this size, she's this size.
No, primero era Tabata, ahora es Surama.
Oh, First it was Tabitha, now I'm looking for Surama, the older one.
Y ella, ¿dónde está mi hija?
And where is my daughter?
Buscamos en todo lugar.
We're looking for all over the place.
Pero solo escuchábamos su voz.
But we could only hear her voice.
Escuchábamos su voz.
We could hear her voice.
Y ella se había encerrado en un cuarto.
And she had locked herself in a room.
Y ella estaba asustadísima.
And she was terrified.
Cuando abrimos la puerta,
when we opened the door,
ella estaba llorando,
she was crying,
gritando,
screaming,
asustada.
Terrified,
la abrazamos,
afraid,
y le dijimos,
hugged
no tienes que preocupar.
And we said, sweetie, you don't have to worry.
Escuchamos tu voz.
We heard your voice.
Y te encontramos.
And we found you.
Y la abrazamos.
And we hugged her.
Eso es amor.
And that's love.
Cuando escuchas la voz,
when you hear the voice
de miles de almas,
of thousands of souls,
de miles de almas,
of thousands
que están
of people
perdidas,
that are lost,
y tú, a veces ni podemos escuchar
and,
tu voz.
And many times we can't even hear their voice.
Pues, para poder escuchar la voz,
to hear the voice
de esas miles de almas,
those thousands of voices,
necesitas tener el amor de Dios.
You've got to have God's love.
Cuando el amor de Dios entra
when
en tu corazón,
God's love is in
se
your heart,
tus oídos espirituales.
Your spiritual ears are open.
Porque esos jóvenes dan
because
su vida para el Señor.
Those young people give their life. I want those young people to give their
porque
life
mi pastor
to God.
Da su vida para hablar de misiones.
I want my pastor to speak about missions.
Porque a veces en las mismas noches,
because even at night,
no se puede dormir,
you can't even
escuchando
sleep
la voz,
because you're hearing the voice.
La voz de miles
you're hearing
de
the voice of thousands of people
que no pueden
that cannot
conocer de Dios, no saben de
know
Dios.
About God. They don't know God. They know
necesitas
nothing about
tener
it.
Amor por las otras personas.
And we need that love for other
tienes
people.
Hermanos, oír la, el amor para las almas perdidas.
You need to hear and desire that love for lost souls.
¿Tú en estas conferencias has podido oír la voz?
I'm going to ask you, have you heard the voice
de la gente perdida?
In this conference?
Yo soy uno de ellos.
I'm one of them.
Estaba perdido.
I was lost.
Alguno hace unos 20 años atrás.
About 20 years ago,
escuchó mi grito.
Somebody heard my scream for help.
Yo no estaba perdido en un cuarto.
I wasn't lost in a room.
Yo estaba perdido en el pecado.
I was lost in sin.
A miles de millas.
Thousands of miles away.
Cruzando el mar.
Across the sea.
En un lugar que se llama Perú.
In a place called Peru.
Una ciudad chiquita que se llama Arequipa.
In a city called Arequipa.
En un barrio que se llama Belaunde.
In a little suburb called Belaunde.
Había un hombre de 23 años.
There was a young man, 23 years old.
Que estaba perdido.
That was absolutely lost.
Pero había alguien.
But there was somebody.
En una conferencia.
In a conference.
Que tenía sus oídos.
That had his ears
abiertos.
And he had them open.
Y escuchó la voz.
And he heard the cry.
Gritando.
And he heard.
Gritando.
Screaming.
Gritando, desesperado.
Screaming in desperation.
De un hombre.
Of a man.
De 23 años.
That was 23 years old.
Que quería cambiar.
That wanted to change.
Pero no podía.
But he just couldn't.
De un hombre.
Of a man.
Que sufría.
That suffered.
De un hombre que iba a repetir la misma herencia
that,
de su padre
that, a man that
y de su
was
abuelo.
Repeatedly do the same thing that his father did and his grandfather did.
Siempre me he preguntado qué sería de mí.
I always thought of myself, what
si
would
no
be? What would have happened if God
¿qué sería
didn't change
de mí,
my
si
life?
No me hubiera transformado?
What would have happened if I was not
¿dónde
saved?
Estaría hoy?
Where would I be today?
Si un hombre no hubiera ido.
If a man wouldn't have gone to Peru
abrir la puerta.
And to knock on my door.
Y a verme a mí.
And to see me.
Decirme, Dios te ama.
And say, God loves you.
Tú estabas perdido.
You were lost.
Pero ahora,
but now,
estás encontrado.
You're found.
¿Sabes qué? Necesitamos tener amor.
We need to love people.
Amor para sacrificarnos.
We need love to sacrifice ourselves.
Amor para decir vamos a guardar todas nuestras cosas.
We're going to look for all of our things.
Vamos a cruzar el mar.
We're going to cross the sea.
Y vamos a ir a un pueblo que no conocemos.
And we're going to go to a place that we might not know about.
A buscar a un hombre que no conocemos.
And to look for a person that we do not know.
Que solamente ha escuchado su voz.
That we've only heard their voice.
Esa clase de amor.
And that type of love.
Necesitamos de un pueblo.
Is what we need of a people.
Para hacer la voluntad de Dios.
I can do God's will.
Cuando tenía 23 años,
when I was 23 years old,
yo estaba perdido.
I was lost
en el licor,
in alcohol.
En todo lo que los jóvenes hacen.
In everything that you could think of a young person to do.
Yo soy la primera generación de toda mi familia.
I am the first generation of my entire family.
De toda mi familia.
Of my entire family.
Estoy diciendo a mis abuelos,
and I'm talking about my grandparents, great-grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-grandparents.
Que ha conocido al Señor Jesucristo.
That know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Soy la primera.
I'm the first generation.
Nadie escuchó.
Nobody heard.
Miles de
thousands
personas,
of people.
Mis abuelos,
my grandparents,
mis tatarabuelos,
my great grandparents
murieron en esos cuartos,
died in those rooms
gritando,
screaming.
¿Alguien me abra?
That someone would open
¿Alguien
the door.
Me abra?
That someone would
que
open the door.
Perdido.
I'm lost.
Gritaban desesperados.
And in desperation
Entre
they were screaming.
Ponían,
and the older they got,
más fuerte
the louder they screamed.
¿Alguien me abra?
Someone please
Estoy
open
perdido.
The door. I am lost.
Y nadie escuchó.
But no one heard.
Y nadie abrió la puerta.
No one opened the door.
Y quedaron ahí.
And they stayed there.
Perdidos.
Lost.
Sufridos.
Suffering.
Y ahora en el infierno.
And now in hell.
Porque nadie abrió la puerta.
Because no one opened the door.
¿Podrías abrir la puerta?
Could you open the door?
¿Podrías tener ese amor?
Would you have that love?
Hay miles.
There are thousands.
Que están en cuevas oscuras,
that are in dark caves
de pecado,
of sin,
y no hay quien abra esa puerta,
and there's no one to open that door.
No es difícil.
It's not hard.
Solo tienes que ir,
just got to go
y abrir,
and open.
Saldrán rápido.
They'll come out quick.
Están desesperados.
They're desperate.
Hoy estaba viendo a mi hija.
And today I was watching my daughter.
A mi hija Tabata.
And my daughter Tabata. And my daughter Surama. I love them with all my heart. And every night before sleeping, there's a book from James Dobson. And it talks about how to raise your daughters. It's a pretty book. And I've got two daughters. And now I'm having a boy.
Y estaba leyendo el libro.
And I was reading the book.
Y el libro dice.
And the book says
que las hijas más se apoyan a un padre.
That daughters lean more on their fathers.
Más que y eso no es novedad.
And that's not news.
Pero el libro enseñaba que había un padre que cada noche oraba por sus
but
hijas.
The book taught about a guy that every night he prayed for his daughter.
Y eso tocó mucho mi corazón.
And that really touched my heart.
Dije cada noche.
And every night.
No importa lo que pase.
It didn't matter what happened.
Yo voy a entrar al cuarto
I'm
going to
go in their room.
Y voy a orar.
And I want to pray for them.
Y así lo he hecho.
And I've done that.
Entro a su cuarto,
I go in their room.
Pongo las manos encima de su cabeza,
put my hand on their heads.
Y oro por ellas,
and I pray for them.
Y le digo, Dios, estas niñas van a crecer.
And I say, God, these girls are going to grow.
Señor, dales una persona que le ame.
Give them someone to love them.
Pero que te ame a ti.
But that they would love you first.
Oro por ellas, cuida sus sueños.
I pray for them. Lord, watch over their dreams.
Ahora te voy a decir esto.
And I'll tell you this.
Mis hijas me han visto orando por ellas cada noche.
My daughters have seen me praying for them every night.
Pero nunca me han visto borracho.
But they've never seen me drunk.
Porque alguien abrió la puerta.
Because somebody opened the door.
Alguien tuvo amor por mí.
Somebody loved me.
Y mi vida cambió.
And my life changed.
Puedes abrir la puerta.
You could be that person.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just a moment? I think this is a time that maybe God would speak to someone's heart and say to someone that it is time for you to say, Lord, I will go and I will open that door. So I want to ask you if tonight you feel like God's dealt with you and God spoke to you about those people needing somebody to just talk to them about Jesus. And if you feel like that might have happened, you feel like that God might be dealing with you, I want to ask you to get out of your seat and just come say, God, I'm available. I'm yours and willing to go wherever you'd have me go. Take the gospel wherever it needs to go. I'm yours. I'm surrendering my life. I want to go to people that need to hear the gospel. I'll give you just a second to respond. I really don't have a lot of time tonight. So if you feel like God's dealing with you, you find a place to pray right now. And while you're praying in your seat, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, they'll sing a special. And at the end of the special, I'll dismiss this invitation. But maybe you ought to pray. Maybe you ought to go to your pastor. Maybe you ought to go to a missionary and say, I give my life. I want to go. I'd like you to take just a second. We're going to keep praying just a little bit if you would. But I want you, there's somebody here tonight. Maybe it's not even saved. And you're in that room. And you're on your way to hell. And you need to face up to the fact that you're lost. You have to realize you've sinned against the Holy God. You have to realize that that sin has separated you from God. You have to realize that Jesus died and paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And I would challenge you tonight, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you're just as lost as Ronald was living in Arequipa, Peru. You're just as lost as some of the tribes that we would talk about going to reach. And you come to this meeting and we talk about going to tell others. And maybe you're here and you're religious, but you're lost. Maybe you're the member of a church. You've even been baptized. And you've done all the good things that a person ought to do to be saved. You've got all the outward traits, but nothing's ever really happened inside of you. And if you're here tonight, I want you to know that the Bible's real clear. You have sinned against the Holy God. And just because you live in America, and just because you've been raised by a good family, and just because you don't have a dad like Ronald has, and just like your granddad and all the others weren't like that, and you think, well, I'm not like Ronald. Yes, you are. You're just as dirty, rotten a sinner as he was. And the only thing that changes your life is when you realize that Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary, and you accept his free gift. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So your sin brings death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid the debt. It's all done. It's all ready. All it is a gift you have to receive. Trust Christ. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me just a second. Your eyes closed. And I want to just ask you to be frank with me. Be as honest with me as you can be. Would you tonight say to me, you know, I'm not sure that I'm born again. And I really would like to pray with somebody in private. I'd like to ask some questions. I really want to face up to the fact that I am not born again. And I would like to hear the gospel explained. If you're like that, and that's your heart, if you just hold your hand up wherever you are, I'll send a missionary to your side, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, and we will talk to you in private. We'll answer your questions, and you can leave here knowing for sure that your sin's forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. Who would tell me tonight, help me, Brother Austin, help me, show me how to know for sure I'm saved. Would you just hold your hand up real quick? Right now, you'd let us help you. Would there be anybody like that? Father God in heaven, I love you. And I praise you and I magnify you. God, I know that there are people here that aren't saved. And I am asking you for convicting power. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to make them realize the sinfulness, realize the separation, realize the lack of trust, the lack of faith. Help them realize that it's not their mom and not their dad. To help them realize that it's Jesus and him alone, and let them be saved tonight. God, before this service is over, please come down and convict and save. And I will give you great honor and glory and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet if you would. I do have a prayer request to give you. And we're kind of off schedule already. And my sheet of paper is a lot longer than you might think it is. So we're going to kind of do it. We're going to make a couple of changes. But Natasha Tolson is a missionary wife, and they are in the country of China in Harbin. And she is, they lost a child before they left here. And she is about 5 weeks out from having a baby. And she's in the hospital, as I understand it. She's in severe pain. I don't think she's going to lose the baby. Something else is wrong. But she's in a hospital that's not really able to give her the care that she ought to have. We've already prayed. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me for Natasha Tolson. Her husband is Mark Tolson. Jake and Stephanie Talby are there. Jake is the senior missionary there. He's the guy that God has used to open that country and to preach. And honestly, in a country where it is illegal to have a meeting, 70 and 80 people to get together on Sunday, they have been raided by the police. They've had their people taken in. And yet he constantly, steadily preaches Jesus. Mark and Natasha are well on their way to being used. And right now they need our prayer. They need us to ask God for them. And so I'd like you to bow your heads with me. And I'd like us to ask God to do a work in Natasha's life. Father, I thank you for Natasha. I thank you for allowing us to know her and God to see her faith and her love for you and how she's been able to deal with, through your grace, every issue that's come along in her life. And dear God, I'm sorry she's hurting and I'm asking you to help. I'm asking you to touch her body, give the doctors wisdom. I ask you to save the baby, not let anything happen to the baby. I'm asking you to give Brother Mark your comfort and your power to love his wife and to be sweet and kind and gentle to her and all that she needs in this moment. I ask you for Jake and Stephanie, God, that you would give them the strength to be the friends and the brother and sister in Christ that they need to be. And God, I'm asking you that even this hurt would turn out to be something that brings honor to your name when people see what God's put in this family. The people in China might come to know you. God, deal with Natasha. Bless her. God, help her tonight. Give her strength, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you very much. If you will, you can have a seat, and I'm going to ask our next preacher, Brother Wayne Cook, Brother Cook is a missionary on his way to Colombia, and God has already used him in Guatemala and other places serving him, serving the Lord Jesus. And tonight I hope you'll listen as he preaches.
Well, amen. Mark chapter number 10 tonight. Mark chapter number 10. We'll look at one verse, then we'll go to John. Mark chapter number 10 tonight, verse number 45. I've been given the topic of the king's priorities in mind. The king's priorities in mind. You know, I thought about, well, I can make a list of all the king's priorities or his main priority, and I can make a list of many of our priorities, even in my own life, and then compare them. But there's really no use in doing that, because a lot of times, if we are very honest with ourselves, if our priorities don't line up with the Word of God, or our priorities don't line up with His priority, then we already know that they're wrong and they're erroneous. So tonight I'm going to look at the main theme through the whole Word of God. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, there's one main thread, there's one main theme, and that is the king's priority, and that is this, that he came to save sinners. Amen? From the Garden of Eden, once Adam and Eve sinned, he knew and he realized that he had to do something to redeem them, to reconcile them back to him, reconcile them back to himself. And we find that all through the Scripture, that Jesus Christ, his whole plan the whole time was to be born of a virgin, was to live a sinless life, was to take care of a cross up a hill, was to be crucified for you and for me, and to be resurrected 3 days later. Why? So you and I can be saved. But not just you and I in this room tonight, but yet a whole world. That is the central theme of the Word of God, that he wanted to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. And so tonight here in Mark chapter number 10, in verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to do what? And to give his life a ransom for many." I'll say that last phrase again. And to give his life. Say it one more time. And to give his life. The king's priority through everything. I know we're supposed to give him glory. I know we're supposed to honor him with our life and many other things. But yet, the one main thing through the whole Word of God, Jesus Christ, Philip, came to do one thing, is to give his life a ransom for many. And you may say, well, we can't give our life in that sense. We can't go and die on a cross. We can't. There's no redemptive power in us. But yet tonight, I want to say something. We can't give our life. You know, a Ronald Tuius doesn't happen unless someone becomes a servant and gives their life to a mission field. You know, it doesn't even happen in him only, but yet his wife gives her life to her husband and gives her life to the king and says, "I'm going to make your priority my priority. It may be uneasy for me. It may be uncomfortable for me. I may not see the end from the beginning, and I do not know what's going to happen in the end, but yet I'm king. I'm going to make your priority my priority." There's another portion of Scripture over there where Jesus talks about being a servant over in John. Over in John chapter number 13, real quickly. John chapter 13, we know this story real well. Here's Jesus in the reading, and he rises from supper, the Bible says, and he pours some water, he girds himself with a towel, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. And then over there in verse 14, John 13, 14, he says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." You may say, well, why isn't that talking about washing someone's feet? Yes, it is particularly, but specific, or in general, it's talking about being a servant to other people. So tonight is this. What is the king's priority? His priority was to be a servant. And he said, if I, being your Lord and your Master, we can even interject here tonight, if I, being your king, do these things, then you also ought to do what? Wash somebody's feet, yes. But even more than that, you also ought to be a servant and give your life so many, many other people can be saved. You know, it's funny how it's been mentioned here tonight, and the king or the knight here was, he had his pros and his cons, did he not? And he said, if it's convenient for me, then I'll go out and I'll be your rider. If it's convenient for me, then I'll go and complete the king's command, and I'll obey the king's priority. And it's so funny here, over there in Mark where we were, it was James and John had just said, put me on your right and on your left. We want to control our own destiny. We want these things. And if we're in a place of prominence, if we're in a place of power, if we're going to be where everybody can see us and our life is going to work out just fine, then we will do this. But you know, tonight it's not about controlling our life. It's about saying, I know what your priority is, King. I'm going to make myself a servant. I'm going to bow down. I'm going to give up everything I have, even the control of my life. You know, yes, you may be saved. You may have your ticket punched for heaven and all those things. And you don't have to worry about eternity. But between now and then, are you going to be concerned about the king's priority, or are you going to be concerned about your own priority? You know, many missionaries here, that's what they've done. It's just very plain and simple. It's like what Ronald said. They just choose to love other people. And they said, King, your priority is this, so I'm going to connect my priority to your priority, and that's how I'm going to live. That's how I'm going to live my life. You see, Jesus Christ, he even had to be a servant. The Bible here says it. He didn't come to be ministered to, but yet what? To minister and to give his life. He had a heavenly Father who had a priority. And he was even obedient, the Bible says, unto death, even the death of the cross. And we must follow suit. And we must say, if the King's priority is going to be my priority, we must follow suit. And we must follow his example. And say, Jesus Christ, you followed your Father's priority. You obeyed his wishes. You obeyed his desires. So therefore, we're going to do the same. And we're going to bow our heart, bow our knee, and say, God, take my life and do whatever with it. No, we can't die on the cross, but we can. But we can be a servant. Here in this portion of Scripture, the disciples, I thought it was very convicting. The disciples weren't paying attention. If you read this story, we're not going to read all the verses. They're eating. Now we can only assume what the Bible doesn't say, so I'm going to go ahead and clarify that. But Jason, as Jesus Christ stands up and he girds himself with a towel, and he pours the water and he begins to wash disciples' feet after disciples' feet. And it says here, and then he cometh to Simon Peter. So I don't know how many disciples that he had already washed their feet, Chris, until he got to Simon Peter's. But can you imagine what were they doing? What were they thinking? Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords doing a menial task, doing the lowest task in the room. These guys knew better. These guys should have jumped and said, no, let me do that. You know, my house is kind of a, and I don't know how it is in your house, but when I ask the kids to do something, or my wife, kind of knows one of my wishes, I don't want to say it like that, like I'm King and Lord over my house, but yet they don't do what I ask, or something kind of went past the time where I wanted it accomplished or completed. And once I stand up, Josh, they know, wait a minute, Daddy, let me do it. You know, because they realize Daddy's getting up, we better obey and we better do what's going on. But here in this story, again, it doesn't say necessarily that they're laid back, not paying attention. But can you imagine being one of the disciples before Simon Peter? What were they doing? They're saying, hey, yeah, go ahead, Jesus, wash my feet. Be sure you get real good and clean. I think you missed a little toe over here. Can you get some of that toe jam out from the toenail? I don't know what they were thinking, but it doesn't say they did not until Simon Peter started saying, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. Of course, Simon Peter was an extremist, is he not? He said, now just take, I'll take a whole bath. And Jesus said, no, that's not necessarily necessary. But I think if you and I would have been there, what would we have been doing? We'd have been laid back with our arms crossed, saying, man, this is good. Can you massage while you're down there? But you got to realize these guys knew who Jesus Christ was. They were preoccupied with their own life. Now, I understand they might have been worried. You know, they knew Jesus was going to die one day, and they were probably worried, what's going to happen to us? Well, that sounds kind of familiar. I don't know about in your world or in your head or in your thoughts or in your fears at night, but a lot of times I worry not about the King's priority, but I worry about my safety. I worry about monetary things. I worry about health issues. I worry about my family's safety. I worry about two daughters going to Columbia. I worry about those things. And we may even say, well, those are justifiable things. Was it justifiable that these disciples sat here and let their Savior stand up and put a towel around them, and one by one begin to wash their stinking feet? But even more than that, Jesus Christ came because we have stinking, filthy souls, and that's why it says he came to give his life, a ransom for many. But here he says in verse 13, he says, you call me Master and Lord. He says, you say well, for so I am. Do we realize who he really is? This is one of those points I pray that by the time we all go home, including myself tomorrow, that we'll realize who he is. He says, you call me Lord and Master. And many of us will stand here and we'll raise our hand and we'll sing the songs and we'll sing the praises and we'll say all these things. But do we really realize who he is? He says there in John 13:13, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, he says, you're saying the right thing. He says, because I am him. But do we really realize who he is? No more than my physical children would expect me to get up and do a menial task that I've asked them to do. But yet, here in the story, the disciples allowed Jesus Christ to stand up and do a menial task. And we know that because he gives us an example of being a servant. But yet, sometimes I think we're sitting back there on our couches and on our seats and we're enjoying the good life, saying, yeah, go ahead, Jesus. You do all the hard work. You get me my ticket to heaven. You make my best life now. You do all these things. And we sit there and we're occupied. But not only that, we need to make his priority our own priority. Look at verse number 14. He says, if I then, and I want us to do something there in English, if you take out between the two commas, it's supposed to, you can read it and it still makes sense. In verse 14, it says, if I then, and then if you go down, it says, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. He's saying, if I then, he says, basically, if I do it, then you ought to do it also. But then if we put the middle part of the verse back in there, he says, if I then, your Lord and Master. If I then, your Lord and Master. And we can say it for our conference, if I then, your Lord, your Master, and your King. Then guess what? Then you ought to follow example. Not only should we realize who he is, but we ought to realize his priority, and we ought to make his priority our priority. Not only that, we need to realize it's not about my decisions or my powers or my ability. Look at verse 16. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Evidently, these disciples thought they were greater than Jesus at this time because they just sat there and let him wash their feet. He says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent, he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know, just because I'm a missionary doesn't make me anything special. Because I'm not greater than the one who sent me. It's not in my ability, it's not in my power, it's not in my craftiness that it's going to happen. It's going to be, I say, Lord, I'm going to be a servant. And whatever your priority is, whatever your priority is. Now, I know the story in John's about washing his feet, but I really believe it's a story about servanthood. And he says here, what was the king's priority? From Genesis, I'll say it again, from Genesis to Revelation, it was that he came to save sinners. No, we can't save sinners, but our priority should be make ourselves a servant so that we can carry out his priority. I can only make the king's priority my priority through being a servant.
Some of you are here, and I think maybe in your mind it's like, I don't know that God could use me. I don't have that magnetic personality that some of these guys that get up here have. They're fun-loving, and they enjoy speaking, and they are just great with everybody. And I just know that I'm not that person. But I want you to know that God can use you in big ways, whoever you are, and no matter what your personality is. And the next guy who's going to speak is Missionary Jeremy Hall. And Jeremy was living in the world, went over to South Africa, got his life right with God, started coming around and getting trained and living with us, went down to Peru for 6 months. Or I guess it was 6 months with us, 1 month, one, huh? A year. Okay, well, I thought that was 1 month. I don't know what you're doing. He came down. He started learning how to preach and learning how to do things. And first time he got up to preach, he got up, looked at us, stood there, started crying, and took off running. And hid. And we couldn't find him. Am I stretching that, Mark? I'm not stretching that. Then we were back in America, and it was time to preach to Americans. He did it again. And we were pretty sure this guy would never preach. Now he preaches all the time in Spanish, leading a church, and God is using him. When he started, he said, hey, I need help with a message. I gave him an outline, taught him how to preach that message. He preached it and went around telling everybody it's his message. It was really mine. He said people came up to him and said, man, that's a great message. Said, thank you. God bless you. Then he heard somebody else preach that message and said, that guy stole my message. Then he called me and said, man, they asked me to preach again. They liked that first message too much. I need another message. He said, I want some help with another message. So I sent him something and he wrote back and said, that ain't all that good. And along the way, he'd say, yeah, help me with an outline. And I'd send him help with an outline. And he would say to me, really? I just can't use your stuff. The other day I was preaching. I said, do you mind sending me your outline? I'd like to look at it. I'm preaching that chapter too. God changes you. You're about to hear one of my best friends and heroes, a guy I love, pastor of recreation of Vision Baptist Church, Brother Jeremy Hall. You can have a seat now.
Good evening. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I feel like I'm back in Peru. I have this little stand. We have one of these there at our church. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I just hope I don't run off the stage tonight. It's likely. It's a privilege to be here. About 7 years ago, I surrendered my life to the King. And ever since then, I've been a student of His. I've not obtained anything. I don't know much just yet. I'm still learning. But I want to share with you some things tonight. I want to share with you some truths from this text that have helped me obtain what I've been looking for. And that's understanding. The topic they've given me is the student of a king. And we're going to look here at the life of Timothy. Timothy here has, understand this text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in order to understand this text, you've got to look at the context, of course. And in the context, Timothy has been left in charge in the first, if you can remember what happened in the first book of Timothy, Paul and Timothy were on a journey. And Timothy went with Paul, and he was on a journey, much like I went on with Brother Austin to South America a few years back. And Timothy was there, and Brother Paul received a call from Macedonia, a heavenly call. And all of a sudden, Timothy's left there in Ephesus, and he's left with a job to do. Paul left him there, left him back at Ephesus with the job to train leaders. There was a lot of problems in the church, and Paul, of course, gave Timothy instructions in the first letter. You need to train some leaders, and of course, he gave him the instructions to put someone in the leadership. He gave him the instructions of a bishop. What it requires to be a bishop, and he gave them instructions on how to train a bishop and what things were required to be a bishop. And he's busy in the ministry in 1 Timothy. And then we come to 2 Timothy, and we're here in 2 Timothy, and what we realize if you read and you study this is it's a little bit different. This letter was written more of an encouragement to Timothy. It was written. Timothy was very, very discouraged. If you read the first chapter, you realize that he had all kinds of fears. He had all kinds of doubts. He was scared that he was inadequate for the job that God had given him to do. And I found myself in that position so often. 7 years into the ministry, and I'm in a ministry in Peru, South America, doing something that I am not at all familiar with. Timothy had received great instruction from man. Timothy had been blessed by the grace of God. God had given him a man, and this man had invested in him, and God wanted him to do something. And we're going to look at the chapter really quickly. We're going to be in 2 Timothy. We're going to read a few verses here, and I want to share with you just a few truths from this chapter that'll help you obtain what it is you're looking for. And that's understanding. In verse 7, I'll read this and I'll come back to it. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. A student of the King, what a student of the King is looking for is understanding. What I'm looking for, what you're looking for, is understanding. We want to know the King and the power of His resurrection, as someone preached earlier. But let's go ahead and read the text, and we're going to see what's going on here. This letter, remember, this letter was written from a father, a spiritual father to a son. It was written from a spiritual father to a son to encourage him, to strengthen him. He's young, he's discouraged, and he's fearful and that he's inadequate. And he's got a lot on his plate. And the encouragement that he receives is not this sweet, you know, pat on the back encouragement. This flattery encouragement. It's what he needs to hear. And let's go ahead and read the text and see what we can learn from this text. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's pray to start. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you and I praise you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the understanding you've given me of your truth. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to see tonight you in a new light. I pray, dear God, that you would give someone, if they're here tonight and they don't know you as Savior, that you would give them that light. I pray, dear God, that those that have been in the work and in the ministry for a while, I pray that this message would be an encouragement to their hearts, Lord, as it was meant to be to Timothy. God, I pray that it would work in our hearts and our lives, and it would give us what we need to go forth and bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've already done. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What Timothy needed here, and what every student of the king needs, is someone that will shoot it to him straight. Someone that will be bluntly honest. If you look around this room, you'll see men that are following a man, that have followed a man, Brother Austin Gardner, that are disciples of a man. Most of these men are following this man for this very reason. Because this man shoots it straight. Because he is bluntly honest. What you and I, what we need as students of the King is someone that will shoot it to us straight. Someone that will be bluntly honest with us. And that's what Paul is doing here in this text. He says here, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He didn't just go over and pat him on the back and say, "Oh, it'll be all right, son." He's going through some struggles. He's going through some pains and he's going through some things. If you've ever been in the ministry for any amount of time, you're going to go through these things. Especially as a pastor, you're going to experience some things. And be careful, students, to not criticize the pastor. I'm now on the other side of the line, and it's very simple and very easy to be critical of the man of God when you're on this side of the line. When you're not in his shoes. And Timothy here is in those shoes now. He's feeling the weight. He's feeling the pressure of a pastor. He's feeling the pressure of wow, these people. I mean, there's tons of problems. And what do I do? And what he receives here is what he needs. Truth. He didn't receive flattery words. He received truth. His father in the faith. And what a father will do, a good father, a good spiritual father will do, is he will talk to you truth. What he did, what Paul did here, is he shared some truth with him. And what we need is someone that will share truth with us. But what we don't want is that. We don't want someone to share truth with us. It's against our culture. It's against the grain. It's against everything that's within us. We want to hear words of encouragement all the time. We don't want to hear, "You need to do this," or "You need to do that." Paul is talking to his son here, and he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." What's more than likely happening is that Timothy here has gotten real busy in the ministry. And I'm guilty of this. I can relate to Timothy. He's probably gotten really busy in the ministry, dealing with all kinds of problems, all kinds of stuff, doing the work in his own strength. Doing the work, how can I say that? By the day-to-day, he's experiencing the day-to-day grind of ministry. And those that say that the pastors don't work as hard as those that work in a secular job, you ain't got a clue what you're talking about. I've been on the other side. It's not a 40-hour week work week. It's a lot different. And he's experiencing these things and he starts to work in the flesh. How can I tell you that he's working in the flesh? Because of one thing. Paul, earlier in chapter 1, he says, what does he say in chapter 1, verse 7? "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Now, this spirit of fear doesn't come in when the God of heaven, when you realize that the God of heaven is on your side working alongside of you. You don't get that spirit of fear when God, I get a spirit of fear standing before you. Why? Because I'm doing it in the flesh. Because I'm trying to do something. And I'm not allowing the God of heaven to do it through me. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. What does he say? He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He needed to hear some truth. What you and I, what we need to hear is some truth. What Timothy needed was what every student of the King needs. He needed someone who would recognize these things in his life
and would shoot it to him straight. What you and I, what we need, and I'm going to give you a carnal illustration here. What we needed, just thinking about the economy and the way it is right now. If someone would have shot it to my generation straight, if someone would have been bluntly honest with my generation, the economy would probably not be in the state that it's in. If you can, what I wanted to hear just a little bit ago was, I can get what I want. I wanted to hear, yeah, you can buy this house. I wanted to hear, I didn't want to hear, you know, work, self-sacrifice, self-denial. I didn't want to hear those things. And one day, maybe, the God of heaven will allow you the privilege of having a house. What I wanted to hear was a way. Just give me a way and I'll get there somehow. And what we did was we made a shortcut that destroyed our economy. But let me tell you one thing that we can understand from this text, and I'll show it to you here in just a minute. There are no shortcuts in life. Absolutely no shortcuts in life. What Paul is saying to Timothy here, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What Paul is going to do in these next verses is he's going to show Timothy what it means to be strong in his grace, what it looks like to be strong in his grace. And what he shows him here are four analogies. Four analogies. And these four analogies scream this one thing. Students, they scream that there are absolutely no shortcuts. Don't try to cut it short. There's no shortcuts. It'll come back to bite you. And he starts off here with an analogy. He says, verse 2, and this is the philosophy of our team, and I've got to hurry. This is the philosophy. This is the ministry philosophy. Our ministry philosophy is built around this verse. 1 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. He's showing him what it means to be strong in grace. And we understand that without grace, we can do nothing of eternal value. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. And that grace which was bestowed upon us was not in vain. We labored more abundantly than they all, Paul said, or he labored more abundantly than us all. Not him, but that grace that was with him. We can't do anything outside of his grace of eternal value. We need that grace. But Paul says you need to be strong in that grace. And I'm going to show you what it looks like to be strong in that grace. Being strong in that grace means you're going to be a teacher. It means that you're going to be a teacher. That means that you're going to be a discipler. This is a life on life verse. This is our ministry philosophy. Who we are. It's you're going to deny yourself. It means that you're going to sacrifice. It means that you're going to work. It means that you're going to not have as much family time because you're going to have all kinds of people sitting around a table with you all the time. Not family time, just you and your family. It means that you're going to have to sacrifice. This verse, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul's not telling Timothy anything new here. He's just repeating something. And that's what a good father, he's repeating something that he had told him in the previous book. And that's what a good father does. My job as a father is I tell my kids to do something and then I repeat it in 50 ways to try to get it through their thick skulls. And that's pretty much what I do. I tell them this, don't do this or do this. And then I tell them 50 other ways to not do the same thing or do the same thing. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's do this. And what's going to happen is, as a result of this, Timothy, what's going to happen is you're going to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do this. If you're sharing, if you're comparting, I can't think in English. If you're sharing your faith, what's going to happen is in sharing your faith, you're going to meditate on Scripture. And meditating on Scripture is going to change those things in you. And you're not going to have that fear. You're not going to have those things. And Paul is saying this from jail. Remember this. He is strengthening himself in jail. He's knowing it. He's putting it into practice. He's doing this. He needs to be strong. He understands this. He's writing this to Timothy from jail. He sends it to him to put into practice because Paul needed to be strong in the grace that was in Christ Jesus in order to fulfill his mission. The first analogy, be a teacher. The second analogy, it shows us really quickly. Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Be a soldier. What Paul's telling Timothy here is you're going to go through some junk. People are going to shoot at you. It's going to be rough. It's a war. Get used to it. Get ready. If you're not ready to get shot at, don't go to battle. Don't go to battle. But what he's saying here, also in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What he's saying here is don't let anything interfere with your mission. He's saying, Timothy, know what you were designed to do and do it. And don't let anything interfere with that. You were sent there to Ephesus. You were sent there to train men. You were sent there to train preachers. Do it. And don't let anything interfere with that. You're going to get shot at, and it's not going to be fun a lot of times. Just do it. We need self-discipline, self-denial, self-sacrifice, hard work, patience. The third analogy he uses here, and I like this one probably the best, just because it makes more sense to me in Spanish as well. And I'll probably just read it to you in Spanish just because it says here, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The Bible says in Spanish, he says, y también el que lucha como atleta no es coronado, sino lucha legítimamente. He that fights, says in Spanish, or he that strives, he that fights como atleta. This carries the connotation of an athlete. He that fights for mastery, to be a master athlete, to be a master wrestler, he that fights to be this, he's not crowned unless he does it legitimately. God in heaven has set some standards. We follow those standards. There are no shortcuts. We fight by the rules. We fight by the rules. There are no shortcuts. We work hard. There are no shortcuts. Our society is built in us, has ingrained in us, oh, we will find a way to not have to work so hard. We'll find a way to weasel around having to work. We'll find a way to get what I want now and later pay the price. Be like an athlete. You have to follow the rules. You have to know them. You have to live them. And you love them. An athlete, I was a wrestler, an athlete loves the rules. When you really start playing, and you start playing a sport, if you've ever played soccer, if you've ever played any sport, you love the rules. You don't want to be kicked from behind. You love the rules. God gave us rules. We follow the rules, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be strong in the grace. We're going to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And look at the last one really quickly. He says this, he says, in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He says to be like a farmer. You're going to be like a farmer. Expect to reap what you sow. So sow a good crop. You want to be a good student? Start sowing a good crop now. Because I promise you, once you get to the mission field or once you get to the position that you're dying to get to, if you take any shortcuts, I'm there. I know it. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. So fight legitimately. Do it according to His way. There's no other way. Listen. Get a mentor. Get under His teaching. That's what Paul was to Timothy. He was a father. Get a mentor. Look what he says here. He says in verse 7, and I'll finish with this. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider. Think carefully about. Take into account when making the judgment call. Consider what I say. And then what's going to happen? You're going to get what you're looking for. Understanding. You're going to get what you're looking for. If you really want understanding, there are no shortcuts. If you really want understanding, you need to have somebody that will shoot it to you straight. If you really want understanding, if you're really a student of the King, consider what He says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you, thank you, and praise you for what you're doing. I pray, dear God, that you bless the remainder of the evening. I pray, dear God, that the words that have been spoken would be an encouragement and a blessing to the hearers. Thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name.
This event is organized by Baptists Committed to World Evangelism, committed to train men and women to take part in the King's Command. For more information, log on to www.bcwe.org to find out how you can be involved in the King's Command.